Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 13. In verse 11, the Word of God says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. Why? Because I saw in a glass darkly." The word glass there is, of course, speaking of a looking glass, a mirror. "I looked in the mirror, and I did not see according to reality. And because I did not see according to reality, I was childish in my ways. But when that which is perfect is come, it will be different. When that which is perfect is come, I will know even as I am known." Now, how do I get to this point of maturity? This is one of the biggest challenges for believers. And we teach, and this is true, that in order to become mature, we need doctrine. Good, solid, categorical Bible doctrine. And that's correct. However, there's a little bit more to that. I have to be able to apply the doctrine in order to be matured. And the first place that I apply it to is the way that I see myself. When I look in the mirror in an immature state, I see in the glass darkly. However, when I am mature, I will see as I actually am, according to my position. So really, the goal that we have as believers is to grow to the place where we see reality in the mirror. But how do we see reality in the mirror? How often do we look at our condition and say, "I am like this"? Maybe we think we're doing well and say, "I'm doing pretty good here. In these areas, I'm doing well." And then we look at other areas and say, "These areas I'm not doing so well." And sometimes people even teach people to do that. They say, you know, look at yourself objectively, you know, honestly introspective. And there is a place for that and on one level. But don't ever take that too far. When you take it too far, it actually starts to influence who you are. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul had a dilemma. He would do the things he knew he should not. He did not do the things that he knew should. He saw a war in his members, a war between the law of God, in other words, the law of life, and the law of sin and death. He saw the Holy Spirit trying to work, and he saw his old sin nature trying to work. He said that the Spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the Spirit. And here you have this conflict. His solution was that he chose not to identify himself with his old sin nature. He identified himself according to the way that God identified him. And when he started to see in a mirror and look at reality, when he found reality in the mirror, that's when he started to grow. When he started to see himself the way that God saw him, that's where he started to grow. One of the biggest mistakes that believers can make, not only do they look at themselves, but then they look at their circumstances and they connect themselves to their circumstances. People will say, "I am this way because something has taken place. Something has influenced me to be this way." And these different triggers come, And because we relate to the circumstances, we allow the circumstances to define us. Please learn to never allow your circumstances to define you. Circumstances are not capable of defining you. Learn not to let other people define you. Other people are not capable of defining you. Learn not to let your own weaknesses or your own sin nature define you. Your weaknesses and your sin nature are not capable of defining you. The only one who can actually define you is the one who actually made you. God is the only one who can define who I am. And God defines me in a specific way. He does that with all of us believers. He says, you're accepted in the Beloved. Imagine that. Little old me, we may think. Little old me. Me, who am I anyway? I'm not a great speaker, we may say. I'm not a great pastor. I'm not a great evangelist. I'm not a great much of anything. So who am I? And God says, who are you? You are the accepted in the Beloved. That's who you are. Look in the mirror and see accepted in the Beloved. Don't see your sin nature. Don't see your weakness. Don't see your faults. Don't see where you come short. The time you really see your sin nature the most is in the morning. You get bed face, bed hair, bed breath, morning breath. Isn't that like a picture of the sin nature? Leave the beast to itself and it becomes corrupt. How do you fix it up? How do you change it? Word of God. Mixing faith with what I hear. Embracing the character of God. And it makes me into who I am. God says you're accepted in the Beloved. When you look in the mirror, do you see accepted in the Beloved? Or do you see morning face? Most of us see morning face. We rarely see accepted in the Beloved. And we don't see morning face because it's morning. We see morning face because this is what we identify ourselves with. I'm no more what I look like in the morning than I am what I look like in the evening. I'm not what I look like. I'm accepted in the Beloved. The superficial is meaningless with God. I'm accepted in the Beloved. My wife has this cute little story she likes to tell. When she was little, she used to like to pick on her sisters, kind of mess with them. Not malicious, just playing. But her sisters didn't much enjoy it. And she was the baby in the family. And she used to like to tease and play with her sisters, and they would want her to leave them alone. And she always says, I knew my mom loved me. I really didn't care what they thought. But isn't that right? My Savior loves me. I don't really care what you think. You can't define me. But my Savior does. And He defines me as being accepted in the Beloved. The worst thing that I could do is to change from having my Savior defining me into allowing some person to define me. David, when he was offered his judgment from God, was offered to be pursued of men. And David did not want to fall into the hands of man, knowing that the heart of man is corrupt and wicked. David knew what men could do to him. He'd rather run to the God of all mercy. Yet how often do we let what people do to us define us? How often do we allow people's opinions of us to define us? We look in the mirror and their voice comes to our mind and it says to us, you are this way and we say to ourselves, am I this way? Because they are already defining our thoughts. And by defining our thoughts, they start to define who we are. Don't allow people's opinions to define who you are. Be no respecter of persons. Have regard for persons, but not respect in that sense. Regard them the way God regards them. Respect them the way God respects them. You see, sometimes we turn our regard into respect, and our respect into regard. In other words, we give them more emphasis and less care. We need to give them more care and less emphasis. But don't ever let people define who you are. They will define you incorrectly because they cannot understand. No man can understand any other man. They cannot understand. Don't let your decisions define you. You are not defined by your decisions. Sometimes people look in the mirror and they say, hey, attaboy, I made a great whatever last week. A great deal if you're a businessman. A great production if you're some sort of a worker. Maybe I made a great call as a doctor and I saved somebody's life. And you look in the mirror and you define yourself by your decisions. Or on the other hand, maybe you blew something. And you look in the mirror and you define yourself by your decisions. You're not defined by your decisions. This is who you are as far as your decisions go. God makes all things beautiful in their time. That's who you are. All things are of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things are for your sake. In 2 Corinthians 4:15. This is the definition of your decisions. I don't understand the outcome because the outcome is not there yet. By the way, the outcome cannot be understood until you come home to be with the Lord. Don't allow the outcome of your decisions to define who you are. Maybe you say, I could have done this better. And perhaps you could have. Maybe there's an element of fact in that. But how much truth is there in that? Yes, factually, maybe I could have had things go differently, perhaps more to my advantage if I did certain things in a certain way. But all things are still of God. All things are still for my sake. All things are still worked together by God. For good. God orders my steps. Is this who you see when you look in the mirror? Make sure you see reality in the mirror, not your opinions. Make sure you see reality in the mirror, not somebody's interpretations. When you look in the mirror, be sure what you're seeing is according to God's word, because only then will you see reality? We define ourselves by our call. But what happens if you can't operate in your call? Or what happens if your call goes differently than you expected? Adoniram Judson was called to Burma. 20 years, and he did not have a single convert. He did spend some time in prison, though, and 2 wives died. Got married, went to Burma, his wife died there. Got remarried, his wife died. Brutal. That's before he won a single person to Christ. At the end of his life, he did get some number of believers. But it wasn't spectacular. He didn't have a Burmese mega church. But today, his translation of the Bible is still the only one that exists in Burmese. Imagine if Adoniram Judson had seen himself according to his production. 2 wives died because I'm pursuing this call. Am I making a mistake? I'm sure he must have thought that from time to time. Am I making a mistake? If you look in the mirror and say to yourself, am I making a mistake? You're seeing the wrong thing. You're not seeing reality in the mirror. If you look in the mirror and you see the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, then you are seeing reality in the mirror. I have done what God has called me to. I love David's testimony at the end of his life, at the end of 2 Samuel. He says, the words of the Lord were on my lips. The words of the Lord were on my lips. What an amazing testimony. At the end of his life, he looked in the mirror, and that is what he saw. The words of the Lord were on my lips. What an amazing thing to see in the mirror. I'm not talking about positive thinking or improving your self-image. People are so concerned with having a good self-image. I'm telling you something. Don't have a good self-image. Don't have a bad self-image. Let Christ be your image. Because that's who you're being conformed to anyway. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see your call? If you see your call, you see the wrong thing. You are not your call. And you will never be your call. A call is a detail within the plan of God. But it is not the defining factor for who we are. Some people see their endeavors of different sorts. Some people see their dreams, what they interpret as their future. A young person, maybe a young man, looks in the mirror and says, I see a future pastor. Or perhaps people have been crushed and their dreams have been eradicated. They did not come through. And they say to themselves, I see a person who did not achieve what he had desired. Either way, you see the wrong thing. You are not your dreams, and you are not your achievements. You're not your lack of achievements. You are the beloved of God. Please understand this. Get this into your frame of reference. You are the beloved of God. When you know who you are, when you see yourself as you are seen by God, then you start to enter into maturity. How am I seen by God? What is the reality in the mirror? Well, number one, you are the beloved of God. Number two, you're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Imagine that. I wish people would really get to know what that means. That you're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. In Revelation 1:5, the blood of Christ removes all sins from us. Our conscience needs to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. A person fails and they say, the blood of Christ removed it from me. Do you realize when you rightly relate to the blood of Christ, what that does for your identity? To realize that you are actually without sin. Although if you say you have no sin, you are a liar. That's true. You have a sin nature and you cannot say you have never sinned. But you can say you are without sin because 1 John tells us that that which is born of God sins not. And of course there is the application where we know that the spirit within us does not sin. It's the old sin nature that sins. That's true. But it's more than that. I am the new creature. The new creature has no sin. The new creature is a new species in Ephesians 2:15 made up of the Savior and us. Old things are in fact passed away. Do you see this in the mirror? That you are the new creature. That you are the one that is cleansed by the blood. That there is no spot or blemish in you. And I'm not, again, talking in a puffed up mentality where you're self-occupied. I'm talking about recognizing the reality of who you are in Christ. Because who you are in Christ is in fact who you are. There is no definition for us other than who we are in Christ. You're the new creature. Do you wake up in the morning, you go to the mirror, and you say, there is the new creature. Imagine that. You say, there is the new creature. And you believe what God has said about you. Do you see someone who is more than a conqueror? Or do you see someone who struggles with their problems? Do you see someone who is beaten down? Or do you see someone who is victorious? You see, the fact of the matter is that you are more than a conqueror and you are victorious. Only your perceptions, your own illusions tell you that you've been beaten down. Satan loves to lie to you about who you are. He'll say, oh, you are a failure and you are beaten down and you cannot get victory and you have besetting sin and you have weaknesses and you have problems and you have circumstances and you have bad relationships. And he loves to point these things out to you so that he can destroy your identity. One of Satan's greatest strategies is to attack the identity. That's why he did that to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, attacking his identity. And sometimes he does it through things like circumstances or relationships or weaknesses. Do you lament the fact that you have an old sin nature? Do you look in the mirror and say to yourself, this is what I have done, or I have these weaknesses, or I have these lust patterns, I have these insecurities, I have these hang-ups? Is that what you see? You don't see reality. You know what God sees? Spotless and blameless. Perfected. Without a single flaw. With no old sin nature influenced in his view. Only that which he has accomplished. Only the new creature. That's what God sees. Do you see something? I am a black man, I am a white man, I am an Asian man. Do you see that? Do you identify yourself according to the externals? Do you identify yourself according to how much melanin pigment is in your skin? Is that really what identifies you, is a protein? Yet so many people in our culture, they want to divide themselves according to their ethnicity or their race or their origin or what have you. And there's a place for national entity and for culture. I'm not denying those things. But I'm saying these are not the things that define us. Is there a little bit of trepidation, hostility, animosity if you're among someone who looks different? Is that what defines you? Your external appearance. One of the most amazing passages, I think, in the Word of God is when Jesus says that it's not what goes in that defiles you, but what goes out. And of course, he's talking about food there, but it's really anything. It's not your experiences that defile you. It's how you handle the experiences in your heart. And if you can't handle your experiences in your heart, the vast majority of time is because you don't see reality in the mirror. If you saw that you're more than victorious, if you saw that you're not defined by circumstances or people, if you saw that you are defined exclusively by the heart of God, then many of your difficult circumstances would simply become trivial details. And they would have no impact on you. Do you see that you are the bride of the Savior? Imagine being the bride of God. How many young people want to get married because they think they will find an element of fulfillment there? Sometimes they think they're not looking so much for fulfillment. They just want to have sex and have it in the right context. You don't know what it's about. You don't know what it's about. And if you don't know what it's about, you can't have God's designed experience for it, even if it is in the right context. Do you see someone who is fulfilled by God? Because that is your position. And you may say, well, it's certainly not my experience, but it's not your experience because of your perceptions, not because God has failed to fulfill. If I define my fulfillment in anything other than what God has said, then I cannot be fulfilled, because nothing else is reality. But if I find my fulfillment in the things that God has said, and I do that by believing Him, then my fulfillment will be abundant. I can't be fulfilled in self-orientation, but I am utterly fulfilled in God-orientation. Do you see someone who is God-oriented? Do you see someone who looks for God's hand? Do you see someone who trusts Him? You may say, I don't have those things. Perhaps you have times when you don't have those things and times when you do. But I'm not talking about your weaknesses or your shortcomings. We all have those. I'm talking about what God has said, and do you believe it? Imagine being seated above in heavenly places. Do you see it in the mirror? Reality in the mirror is what causes us to become mature. It's like this. I see myself the way that God defines me, and all of a sudden I start thinking accordingly. I see myself as a conqueror and more than victorious, and in my circumstances I start to look for my victory. I see myself as forgiven, and in my circumstances I turn to His forgiveness. I see myself as His beloved, and in everything that takes place I draw near to the love of God. I see myself as the new creation, and nothing of the old and of the world and of what the devil may want to throw at me can touch me. I see myself as the recipient of God's grace, and I can forsake all my efforts and the natural man at a good performance. I see myself as someone who receives the mercy of God, and I recognize that as long as it takes, God is going to wait for me. Because my weaknesses or my lack of growth or my failures mean nothing to God other than an opportunity to be merciful. I see myself perhaps as the recipient of God's faithfulness. And strangely enough, I have an amazing capacity to become faithful. I see myself as God's beloved, and I'm able to be patient and kind, even though normally in my old sin nature I would not be. But I see myself differently because I see reality in the mirror, and as I see the reality in the mirror, the person is transformed into the image that he sees. It's how it always works with us, all the way down to our mirror neurons. We are transformed into what we look at, into what we hear. This is why the Bible says, be careful what you hear. Be careful how you hear. Because you're transformed into that which you receive. Make sure that what you receive is established in God's reality. If it's not, you'll see the wrong thing when you look in the mirror. And your maturity will escape you. Do you see that your life is not your own? Do you see that when you think about yourself, when you look in the mirror, that your life is not your own? That you were purchased with a price, and the price was the precious blood of the Savior? You know what that does? That allows me to simultaneously experience the love and the character of God, and to lay down my life for His sake. In fact, that's the only way that I can lay it down. But when I lay down my life for His sake, He promises that that's where I'll find it. Is that what you see? Or do you see someone who has to consistently fight on their own behalf, to defend themselves and to produce, to justify in order to be justified? Or do you see someone for whom it's already been done, who simply received? Why could Abel bring a blood sacrifice to God in Genesis 4 and Cain feel like he had to produce something for God? Because Cain recognized that in himself he had no ability, but everything that he needed was accomplished for him by the Savior. On the other hand, Cain thought he had ability, but he did not recognize what the Savior had accomplished. What do you see when you look at yourself? Are you Cain or are you Abel? One of the funny things about that is Cain didn't know it, but he wasn't Abel. And that's why God rejected what He brought to him. You see, look at the mirror and see reality. See yourself as you actually are, as God has defined you. Because what God has defined is the truth of what is. Anything else is merely a deception. Too many people are deceived when they look into the mirror, and they do not see as they are seen. When you start to see as you're seen by God, you turn into the image that you're looking at. Amen?